Isn't it great that on a rainy Sunday morning we have many people that are coming here to praise and worship God, right? Awesome. Okay. So you ready for the Word of God? You ready to be fed? Yeah? All right. I'm excited that you're going to be in a banquet today, and God has special things for you. I pray that you will be blessed as you go out here. We've been doing 31 days of prayer challenge to extend the kingdom of God, so for a greater harvest, right? So if some of you that are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or any social media, when you post about our year, this 2017, for a while as we pray, use the hashtag Harvest2017, okay? So you'll go back to what we're writing every day at the church. So we are praying for a greater harvest. And your emails are very, very encouraging. It's awesome that many of you have responded to pray. I mean, our hope was that someone from the church will pray every day in the month of December for greater harvest, for a greater harvest. So not a day will pass without somebody praying on it. But many of you responded to pray for 31 days. I mean, it's awesome. It's just awesome. And then some of you say, Pastor, I'm going to pray for 7 days. And I will see whether I can do the 7 days. If I can do the 7 days, I'll add more days, 7 days, and then go on and hope to pray for 31 days. Some of you even texted me this week that we're going to fast and pray for Friday and Saturday. And some of you said, I'm going to fast and pray for a day. And some of you said, I have health issue, I can't fast, I'll just pray for 31 days. Right? And some of you said, Pastor, I'm giving up beef. I'm not going to eat beef this month because I love beef. Some of you say, I'm not going to drink coffee because I love coffee. I'm just going to do tea. You're doing vegetables. Daniel's diet. And this is awesome. I feel like the salvation tide is coming. Or is already here, that our feet are feeling the tide already. I'm very expecting for a great revival. And when you come here, revival seems like an old word. But it is not. Because you need to be revived every day. Renewed every day. You're looking for revival and renewal every day in your life. See, with this great challenge and great commitment also comes, let me warn, great trials. And many of you that are involved in praying, I can assure you that some sort of trials will come your way. Do not be discouraged. When trials come, rejoice in the Lord because it's going to produce patience. When you persevere, it will shape your character. And character is one part of the shape summit. It will come to you. It will come to you. When it comes to you, don't be caught off guard. Know that it is coming. And we are praying for you. Pastor is praying for you. And it always comes to the leaders first, because they are in the forefront. It will come to me as a pastor. It will come to the family life pastor. It will come to the children's director. It will come to the worship minister. It will come to the connection, hospitality. It will come to the campus management, IT. It will come to them first. And if we are not in prayer, then we will stumble and fall. And when the leaderships are divided, then it's very difficult to do ministry in the church. So be alert and be and look out for these things. But the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the scheme and the devices of the enemy. If God is for us, who can be against? Oh, not so strong. If God is for us, who can be against? Yes, God is with us. The enemy is not going to succeed in his scheme if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to take over, right? So, I want to thank God for all of you, especially the leaders. The board members is amazing. Our church board members are amazing. They really love the Lord. They are fasting and praying, many of them, starting with the leader. The staff are. Many members are. So I want to say thank you to God for sending these faithful laborers that are in Santa Clara First Baptist Church. So I want to give you a big hand to all of you and praise you. Praise God. All right. Okay. So that's my sermon. Let's go home and be done with it, right? And, okay. Somebody's clapping. So the harvest is truly plentiful. If you look at the sermon notes, go to our church app. When you go to the app, Santa Clara First Baptist Church, you can download it. And there is a sermon note. You can follow us with that. Those of you that have the app, there is a sermon note there. So follow me. Matthew 9, right? The harvest is plentiful. But before that, he was going with the disciples, and he saw multitudes, a lot of people. And Jesus said they were like sheep without shepherd. So he had compassion. Okay. So talking about sheep, right? So my wife and I have been married for 16 years. January the 3rd, right? Yes, 16 years. So talking about sheep, when I first saw my wife, she was like a beautiful sheep, you know? It's like, oh, so lovely. And I just fell in love with that sheep. Oh, this sheep. I'm going to love this sheep and take care of this sheep. I didn't know that she was a tiger. Yes, tiger. Tiger that loves the Lord. That's willing to fight for the kingdom of God. You know, 16 years seems like a long time. And we take our vows very seriously. You know, one of the vows is through thick and thin, right? I mean, 16 years ago, oh my, I look good. I look so good 16 years ago. I used to think the earth should kiss me because I just walk on the earth. Now, I had hair, and my hair is thin, and I used to be thin, and I'm thick now. Through thick and thin, she still loves me. What to do? A vow is a vow. She has to keep it. I'm thankful to her that she's still loving me through thick and through thin and thick. But one of the things that have kept our marriage together is because we love the Lord. It's because we love the Lord. We share three passions together. One is that to save people. Soul saving is our passion. We share that same passion. We may be at the Y doing Bollywood, you know, dance and Zumba, whatever. Okay? Working out, doing boot camp. But if somebody comes to us and say, I want to know more about Christ and maybe I should follow the Lord, we're ready to take that person to take over to follow the Lord. You see? That is our default. That is the passion that we share. And then if somebody needs to grow in the walk with the Lord, then we are ready for discipleship. And the next thing is that we want disciples to make disciples of Christ. So these three things guards our life. We don't have to be ready. We are ready. We don't have all the answers, but we are ready. I may be doing something. I may be yelling at my kids because they're on the computer and technology too much and say, hey, kid, get off. But if somebody comes who wants to be safe, I'm ready. I don't have to look for words to think what to say, because I know the Spirit of God is going to help me. That's who we are. That has kept our marriage strong. That's why I say she's a tiger. Tiger mom, tiger wife, tiger servant of God, to get the sheep out of the enemy, out of the lion, mouth of the lions. When Jesus was walking with the disciples, he saw the harvest. It was plentiful. It did not discourage him. See? Because the crisis of plentiful harvest presents us with what? Plentiful opportunity. We look at the harvest and I say, oh, that's too much. It's too big. I can't do it. Let's just go home. But we cannot be thinking about greater harvest if we don't have love and compassion. The bottom line is love and compassion for a greater harvest. Do we truly love people? Do you truly have compassion for your friends in high school? Do you have love and compassion for your friends in the middle school? In your college, in your workplace? God has equipped you, regardless of your age, that if your friends are cutting, if your friends are taking drugs or doing things to numb their pain, you have the solution. That is the gospel. And the gospel did not come with mere words only. Okay? It does not come with mere words. It comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. When somebody come and tell you, oh, I don't like your hair, what do? You worry about your hair the whole day. I need to get a haircut. You know? These are mere words that impact your life every day. Okay, I don't like your dress. And it affects you. It's a mere word. Oh, you're getting huge. You know, it affects you. You got a zit on your face. Right? It affects you. These are mere words that impacts your life. Imagine the gospel comes with so much power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. It comes with that power. The power to shake the earth. The power to tear down the curtain in the temple. It comes with that power. And we don't use it. We hardly use it. We have such powerful access. Access. And we don't use it. That comes from lack of love and compassion for the lost. Because they can walk you by, they can zip by you, you don't give a wink at all. The crisis of plentiful harvest is directly connected to the crisis for more laborers. They say there are few laborers. You see, when the harvest is plentiful. You remember from Jeremiah, the prophet said, the winter is past, the summer is past, people are not safe. When is the right season? What season are we waiting for? Which season should we wait for people to be safe? The laborers are few. The crisis of plentiful harvest is directly connected to the crisis for more laborers. Realization of the need for more laborers must direct us to the Lord of harvest. We know that we have few laborers. So, for 31 days, we are praying to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to go into his harvest. Now, church, you with me? You with me, church?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, thank you. What are you going to do when God sends more laborers to the church? Have you thought about that? Because if you pray, it's going to happen, right? So today, this is not a sermon, okay? This is just life. I want to share what's in my life. So this is, don't treat this as a sermon. I just want to share my life. because this is the first Sunday of the year for me. I want to share my life to the church so you know where I'm coming from. Now, so when God decides to send more laborers to our church for his harvest, then we scratch our head and say, okay, here's labor. Here is a laborer or more laborers to work in the church, but we don't know what to do with them. Because we have our own sets of standards, sets of principles, you know. That's why we do the give. When we do the give, are all of us the same? No, we're not all the same. I mean, look at Myers-Briggs. There are four broad category of how people are, and there are more. There's a crossover. Some people are very thoughtful. Some people use their emotions, feelings. Some people are more detailed. Some people are more structured. When you do the give, isn't that what you find out? So if somebody comes that is not like you, then we don't know how to deal with them. But we're praying for more laborers to come. So we pray for more laborers to come, but it doesn't fit, if it doesn't fit Santa Clara First Baptist Church, if it doesn't talk like Santa Clara First Baptist Church, if it doesn't walk like Santa Clara First Baptist Church, then we say, no, this is not for you. And so we're waiting for the right person to come. But isn't the labor that God sent the right person? Did God make a mistake? No. So we have to be careful when we pray. In our congregation, there are ministers that are sitting here, right? There are ministers that are sitting here because they have served in another church, and according to our pastor ethics, ministerial ethics, which we follow, that when we stop serving a church, we will go to another church, so we'll give room for the new pastor to run and work with his vision, so they go to another church. Now, these are gifted people, and they are here, and I feel like, what a great opportunity that we have ordained ministers and pastors that are here. So I would like to use them. I would like them to get involved and further the kingdom of God. That's how I have worked in all the churches that I've been. But if I'm threatened by, oh, these are ministers here, if I give some opening, they may preach better than me, they may do things better than me, so because of fear, I just let them sit there. That is not godly reaction from the pastor. That would be very wrong to do that. That would be very wrong to do that. Because of my insecurity, because of my fear of what may happen, I'm not letting people serve in the kingdom of God. Would that be right? That's why we use ministers that are here in our church. We welcome them. We ask them to preach. We ask them to offer to lead small group, life groups, because we know they're gifted and called. And the call of God is irrevocable. The gift and the calling of God is irrevocable. Wherever you go, the call that God has given to you, the gift that God has given to you, is irrevocable. God has called and gifted you to edify the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, I'm telling you, is bigger than First Baptist Church Santa Clara. Pray to the Lord of harvest. So this harvest is so big. So God, Jesus didn't say, go to the boardroom, right? Bring out all your data, computers on screen, whatever that you use, and now put together a gigantic, humongous project, right? Call all the CEOs and the good mind. Put together a huge project and see how you're going to figure out to have a great harvest. He didn't say that. What did he say? Pray. And like, what? There's so much work to do. You want us to pray? I'm telling you, our humongous effort, gigantic projects, cannot stand in comparison with prayer. There is one solution that gives to the plentiful harvest by the Lord of the harvest. Not by anybody, not by disciples, by the Lord of the harvest. He gave one solution, and that is to pray to the Lord of the harvest. It is not the church that sends people out into the kingdom. It is not the church that calls people into the kingdom. It is not the church that's anoint, appoint into the kingdom for his work. It is God who calls and sends. I hope we understand that as a church. I hope we understand this biblical principle that we do not call and send people into the field. It is God who appoints and chooses and calls who should work in the harvest, and he sends them out. We have to be careful of hindering that work by our preferences. By our projects. By our efforts. Because to pray seems so simple. To pray seems so small. But in the eye of God, the prayer is more bigger, more humongous, more gigantic than our projects and our effort. Because prayer itself is an effort. We read about prayer. It's easier to read about prayer, and it's easier to talk about prayer than to actually pray. You have so many wonderful books on prayer in your shelf, in the library, and you read about prayer, but did you pray? You lead a life group about prayer, but did you pray? Right? So this is a life group on prayer. All you do is come and talk and just go home without praying. You talk about praying, but you don't pray. Prayer is hard. It is very hard. It is very, very hard. You think that you have prayed for everybody, and you're kneeling down and praying, and you're praying for each church members, and you thought, oh, I've prayed so long, and you look at your watch, it's not even a minute yet. Right? And you say, I've covered everybody in 60 seconds. I can't pray more than this. And God says to his disciples, can't you at least just pray with me for an hour? Right? Can't you just pray with me for an hour? They couldn't. They couldn't pray for an hour. That's why every Thursday at our church, we pray for an hour, 9 to 10 a.m. And I have a few faithful group of people that comes and pray with me on Thursday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. You're invited to come and pray with me. I'm extending this to the members because the staff prays every Tuesday. The board prays when we meet. But I'm also extending this to the member, so we can increase our territory of prayer, that you can come and pray with me. This excludes people that are working already, I know that. But we are praying for you, those who are working, those who are teaching, those who are at home. We are praying for you, that you will be fruitful and multiply where God has called you. Prayer is the remedy for the crisis for more laborers. You're looking for a remedy? Prayer is the remedy. Requesting God for more labor is key to a greater harvest. You can't request to God unless you are praying, because you are self-sufficient. Your idea is better than praying. Your effort is better than praying. And you don't have the need to go to God. God told me long time ago that he chose me, a foolish man, to shame the wise of the world. I don't stand here as wise, as hip and cool. I stand here with great trembling, daily looking within myself, Lord, I am unable to do this unless you help me do these things. To send out more laborers into his harvest. So your prayer is the remedy for the crisis of laborers, then prayer is the solution for God to literally send. The word send is ekbalo in Greek. Ekbalo means to call out or to push out, actually to violently. Okay? For God to push you out, violently into his harvest. Isn't that the truth for most of us? We resist. No, Lord. Don't call me. And God has to follow you. He pushes you out violently into his field so you can work in his kingdom. That is true for me. I struggled so long to come into the kingdom of God to serve as a full-time servant and minister. I did not want to do that. The glory and the fame and the status that I was going to receive in the world working there was too much for me to say, no, I can't leave that behind. God has to push me out. I had to obey him. So responding to the call of the harvest is critical to a greater harvest. If God's pushing you lately, I hope you will relent and respond so he will not break your hip. Right? Which he did to Jacob. No? Maybe people think you're cool these days because people walk like this anyway, even if they don't have anything, right? With their pants down, cool pastor, cool servant. You can laugh, take time to laugh. But God's not looking for a cool, hip servant. He's looking for a committed servant. For a holy servant. And in this church, we want to raise holy people washed in the blood of the Lamb and committed leaders that will serve out of their conviction. There is no greater joy for me than to see people come to salvation. No greater joy. This is the reason why I am in the ministry. Nothing beats people coming to salvation. That's it for me. That's my spiritual high, if we can call it. I may not always bring people to the Lord, but that's where I function. I'm always looking for an opportunity if I can lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 5 to 10 years, God may raise our church to be 500, 600 members. But if all these members are coming to our church because they are not happy with their church, present church, that's not church growth for me. We're just absorbing church shoppers. I want to grow our church through conversion. I want to grow our church through conversion. Will you please join with me to do that in this church? Will you please help and pray for me to do that in this church? Shall we do this together? Please help me. I want to work with you. Not for me, but for God. When I say I'm talking about as a pastor, not as an individual. You called me to serve this church. I'm asking your help. I'm pleading with you to come and help as a body of Christ to go out into this plentiful harvest. We have great opportunity. 50% in Santa Clara Valley do not know the Lord. We have 50% of opportunity for great harvest. Let the worship team lead us in greater worship as they come up. Let's be in prayer as we sing this song, that God will melt our heart. God will melt our heart to do his work. When Jesus saw the multitude, he said to his disciples, because he had such compassion, said, "These are like sheep without shepherd." I pray the compassion of God will come in your heart and in my heart. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send his labor into his harvest. If you have not made commitment to pray for a day or 2 days or 3 days or for the rest of the day, which is 23 days, to pray, as you receive my devotion, just write back to me and say, "Pastor, I'll pray with you for a day. I'll pray with you for 2 days." Can you pray about that as you go home? Don't worry about fasting if you can't fast. It's just like my friend who was so big and huge. He said, "Pastor, I can't pray. I'm going to eat, but I'm going to pray hard." That works for me. That works for me. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise and worship God.